Welcome to Tire Mentorship. I'm your host, Freeman Lindy, certified financial planner. Last week, we talked about optimizing your banking with credit cards. If you have not listened to last week, you need to go back and listen to that. This is not one of those, if you haven't listened to it, you should go back. No, actually, though, go back and listen. It's a two-part podcast that's going to be part of a one-part block. So we're optimizing our spending with credit cards, specific ones and a specific method. Now we need to optimize our banking with savings. So we're optimizing both the spending side and the saving side. So we all spend money, right? So we're all getting the most. So getting the most out of that spending helps, right? If you're going to spend it, you might as well get some stuff back for it. We also all save money. And so how do we get the most out of our savings? And even if you think, I don't save money, you do. You do because you don't spend your entire paycheck the day you get it. Minimally, you have a portion of that paycheck that is going from one paycheck to the next. Again, hopefully we're not living paycheck to paycheck, but even those people who are. And so there's some saving in that. Hopefully we're doing a lot more. And again, that's why in the previous episode, we talked about all the things that you should be doing before you even care about this. But for all of us who are saving, which is almost everybody, saving a little bit, how do we optimize this? Right? So there's three tiers of savings that we could be in. Tier three, ultra short term, right? Checking accounts should be used for your daily and weekly transactions. You got money going in there. It's going to be going out in the next few days or weeks. These ultra short term savings accounts, really what they are, where you are just saving for the next transaction, right? Most checking accounts pay nothing in interest. So we don't want to put a lot of money there, but we do need money there just for interaction, right? We have a local credit union that does pay like 1.5% on their checking, but even that's not that much, right? That's not going to make you rich. Tier two is short-term savings. Savings accounts for use for monthly transactions. In an optimized banking scenario, savings accounts, not checking, should be used for any large transactions that you pay monthly. And with the right accounts, you can get a much higher interest rate and much more interest overall by having this tier two savings. More on that in just a minute. And then tier one would be midterm savings. Money market accounts should be used for anything that has like a 3 to 12 month savings goal, right? I use a money market mutual fund for this so I can get the highest interest rate. But you do have to buy and sell the fund to get cash in and out, right? And therefore, it's not good for transactions. We don't use this to pay bills or for all those things. We only use these accounts for use them for once a month savings that we want to put money into and once every few months spending. So money market funds are great for saving for major purchases or stashing most of your emergency fund. That's tier one savings, right? None of these are investments. We're not talking about investing for retirement or all this. This is from short term to midterm, right? 3 to 12 months, nothing beyond that. So here are the accounts that I currently use. Again, this is a description, not a recommendation. I don't get any kickbacks from any of these things. It's just what I'm currently doing to optimize my banking. You can feel free to copy it if you want. I have the Capital One 360 checking account. That's my tier three savings. I switched to Capital One some time ago because it was the greatest combination of accounts, right? There's nothing special about this checking account, I think, in general, but I wanted all my checking and savings and everything to be in the same place. So again, I'm trying to optimize, not maximize my banking. If I were trying to get the most possible interest and perks, I might move checking somewhere else, but the simplicity is worth giving up a little bit of interest to have it all in one place. Optimize, not maximize. And so for me, you know, Capital One is a mostly online bank. They do have cafes, like the little bank branches in some cities. They don't have anywhere I live. So it's an all online bank for me. And I can get cash out of any ATM locally without any fees. If I have cash deposits, I can actually go to Walgreens and deposit it there, as weird as that sounds. So if you deal with a ton of cash, this might not be the right account for you, right? So I'm not just recommending it to everybody, but for me, it's a great savings account to have one bank out. And I want my savings there, which we'll do in a minute. So for simplicity and automation and all that, it's more optimal for me to just have checking there as well. My tier two savings is their Capital One 360 performance savings. And I've watched Capital One's high yield savings rates for years, right? Some people, they jack them up temporarily to get you in and then they lower them way back down. And as I write this in February of 2024, it's paying 4.35% APY. And that's well above what I can get anywhere else locally for sure, and all, over a lot of other online banks as well. And again, a lot of these other online banks seem to go just lower it later on. And so it seems to be a very consistently high top of the market rate that we can get there. So I wanted some consistency there, and that's what I use. More on that in just a minute. And then my tier three account for savings is a Schwab One brokerage account. Schwab has zero fees and zero transaction fees, zero comp fees, zero transaction fees for ETFs, money market accounts, a lot of mutual funds, etc. And so that's a great place for my emergency fund and my midterm savings, right? Things that are 3 to 6 months out. And so as I'm writing this, it's paying in 5.21% APY, almost a percent higher than my savings. So this extra 1% is not worth getting if I'm constantly having to shuffle money back and forth, constantly moving around, making transfers, all of that. But for money I know is going to be parked for months, the juice becomes worth the squeeze. So let's put all that together, right? How do we optimize all of our banking with automation? The real power of optimizing the bank comes when we get it all automated. Right? If you constantly have to work at this, then you won't keep up. Or if you are keeping up, then you're not actually making that much money per hour because you spend a lot of extra work to get just a little bit more interest, right? And so what is your time worth? So we discussed automation a little bit in the financial habit episodes, which were 75, 76, and 77. You can check those out for more details. But here's some things that we want to automate, right? One, we want to automate our income with direct deposits. So I direct deposit about 10% of my paycheck into my checking account and the other 90% into my savings account, right? Only 10% of my paycheck goes into my checking. The other 90% goes into my saving. Most people have 100% just going right into their checking, but I want to automate my savings. And so most payroll companies can split your checks, and I'd rather have money just go straight into savings than have to push it there manually. Right? I want to reduce the physical things, the actual work that I need to put into it. So I just have it automatically go there instead of having to manually save every month. So I split it before it arrives. And so why does 90% go into savings? Well, I want to make that 4%+ that they're paying for as long as possible. And it can sit there and earn the maximum interest by going straight into savings. Okay, so we optimize income through direct deposit. And we also want to automate and optimize spending through credit cards, right? Most of my spending happens on the credit cards I talked about in the last episode or earlier in the blog, if you're reading this, which you're clearly not because you're watching or listening to it. Savings accounts, right? They limit the number of transactions that can happen in a month, right? That's why you can get a higher interest rate. You can't get a debit card on a savings account, get 4% interest, and then just swipe it around everywhere. It doesn't work like that. So you can't use them like a checking account. So rather than having any of my transactions count out of my checking, they all hit the credit card to accumulate on credit. That way, my savings sit there for longer, right? So some expenses have to be paid via ACH. They can't be paid by a credit card. You know, my utilities, for example, can only be paid by ACH. So that, those are all set up out of any bills that I have that have to come out of my checking do come out of my checking, right? And a lot of all the automatic charity things that I have them come out of checking so we can avoid paying the 3% to the credit card companies. And so I put some money automatically into checking to cover those expenses. That's why 10% goes in there, because there's some things that must come out of checking. But everything else goes on the credit card. And that works especially well when you then have automatic payments, right? So you have the automatic spending, you have automatic payments. And all the bills then are, all the following bills and transfers are set to automatically come out of my savings account, right? So it's all automatic. My mortgage payment comes out of my savings, my Quicksilver credit card payment, my Walmart credit card, my Amazon credit card, and my Schwab One transfer all come out of my savings account. Those five transactions every month automatically. And again, like we talked about last week, those credit card statements, I track all the credit card purchases as they happen. I use YNAB to do that. Can go listen to the episode if you didn't. And so then those are getting automatically paid. The full amount from last statement is getting automatically paid out of savings. These are my largest payment, so I get the most bang for my buck by having all these set up to auto pay out of savings. And here's why, right? We're trying to optimize our benefits. There's a few reasons to do this. Number one, like we talked about, we optimize our credit card points. We get a non-trivial, at least, amount of money for us back in points by putting all the vast majority of our spending on credit cards. We track it with YNAB. We don't let it get away from us, and we don't get any surprise bills. We know exactly what it is. It just happens in the background, right? We also then optimize interest. So we can spend a month's expenses in January on our credit cards, But those bills won't be due until February 20th. Right? So the money we spend January 1st isn't deducted out of my bank account for 50 days. Money spent January 20th still sits in there for 30 days before it actually pulls out of my savings. This gives me then the optimal amount of time for all that money to sit in my savings account. All that money that goes in and from my paycheck on day one sits in there for the maximum amount of time earning 4% in my savings account. Now, here's the critical caveat, right? And I can't overstate the importance of tracking the money when it's spent and not when you pay off the card. Way too many people do this. They track, like their credit card bill is an expense. That's not an expense. That's just accumulation of expenses. And this is where people get into trouble, right? They're using February's income to pay off January's expenses. That's not what I'm doing, right? I'm using January's income to pay for January's expenses in February. That's a huge difference, right? Racking up a bunch of expenses in January that you don't have money for, and then using February's income to pay that off in February, that's living paycheck to paycheck. That's living behind. That's, I never pay any interest on my credit cards, but you still don't actually have the money. That's completely different than what I'm doing. I have enough money in January to pay every expense that we have. We're just choosing to pay that in February to maximize interest and maximize points. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense, because it's a huge difference between living paycheck to paycheck and optimizing our banking. Right, so we optimize credit card points, we optimize interest, we optimize transactions, right? Earning 4% is great. The trade-off, because finance is all about trade-offs, right, is the transaction limit. Capital One and most banks limit you to 6 transactions per month. So with a mortgage, 3 credit cards, and 1 transfer coming out per month for savings, that we've used 5 of the 6, right? And then we have 1 more for flexibility in case for some reason we need more on our checking account or wherever else we can make one more transaction, that's fine. Capital One will also let you go over the 6 transactions sometimes, as long as you're not constantly doing it. And so we optimize transactions. We also optimize our long-term saving, right? One of our transfers is to our Schwab One brokerage account, and that accomplishes a few things, right? I leave money in the brokerage account for money market tier one savings. I then also transfer some of that automatically, of course, into Roth IRAs. And all of you, and if you all have multiple incomes, right, paying biweekly, so you got different transactions coming in different times, you can accumulate all that money into your high yield savings account to be ready for the one monthly transfer. If you just automate all that, you make that all automatic, it becomes very easy to get all of this done. That's right, so we want to optimize our banking. There you have it, right? It takes a bit of work to set up, right? You got to be intentional about this, but then you do almost no work to manage it, right? It's a great way to instill a lot of great habits automatically. And if this interests you, right, then take some time to switch banks, get the right credit cards, or keep the ones you have, depending on your whole situation, set up automatic payments and savings, and enjoy the benefits of monthly cash back and larger interest. If you're a client of mine and want more additional guidance specific to you, of course, I'd love to chat about this with you, more about implementing this. But don't forget the prerequisites at the beginning of the last episode. You got to do all that first. But after that, optimizing your banking can be the great next step. Hopefully, that's helpful to you and gives you another layer of financial moves. Not necessarily recommendations, but that's what I'm doing. Hopefully, you can learn something from that and maybe do some of it yourself. Hope that's great for you. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Cheers. If you enjoyed that, you would love being part of our free membership community. It's called Retire Membership, and it has a host of benefits all for free. For example, you can always buy my book, 3D Retirement Income, on Amazon. But if you join us at Retire Membership, we will send you either a hard copy or paperback for free, provide the ebook and the audiobook so that you can listen to it if you don't have time to read it. In addition to that, we'll also provide you with a bunch of content that you can't get anywhere else. For example, we have our quarterly Retire Mentorship magazine, which comes out quarterly and has no ads whatsoever. It's just timely content to help you stay the course. We also have workbooks for our free online workshop to help you get the most out of those, flowcharts to help you make better decisions, and a weekly email to provide timely content that you can unsubscribe from at any time. We never ask for any payment information, and we never share your information with anyone else. We just want to provide timely content and help you stay the course to retire successfully and stay successfully retired. There's no reason to wait, so join us now at retiremembership.com, where you can click in the link in the description and it'll go right there. We can't wait to see you in the community. Cheers. This podcast is educational only and is not investment, tax, or legal advice.